Well, we're there in Romans chapter 5, and usually at this time of the year, this Sunday specifically, I preach a Christmas-themed sermon, and I know that Romans chapter 5 is not generally what would be considered a Christmas passage. And I do want you to understand, I will be preaching a Christmas-themed sermon this morning out of Romans 5. And but if you were, you know, if you want you to hear a sermon out of Luke chapter 2 or Matthew chapter 1, I am going to be preaching out of that text at our Christmas Eve service, a more traditional type Christmas text. But today I just want to talk. I want to give you a few thoughts. And you know, normally we don't have two choirs sing in the morning, and I understand that that took up some time, so I want you to know I'm going to do my best to preach a shorter sermon than I usually would on a Sunday morning to try to get you out of here on time, all right? So it won't be too long, but in Romans, we find probably, aside with the book of John, a book that teaches most clearly about the subject of salvation. And salvation is clearly attached to this idea of Christmas. Now, just real quickly, keep your finger there in Romans 5, but go with me to Romans chapter number 14, just a few pages over, Romans chapter number 14. And today, there is a huge opposition to the idea of celebrating Christmas. Who's ever heard of even Christians who say, you know, it's wrong to celebrate Christmas? Raise your hand. Have you ever heard of people saying it's wrong to celebrate Christmas? And, you know, in the few years that I've been pastoring, it seems like more and more people will want to talk to me about this thing about it's wrong to celebrate Christmas and people shouldn't celebrate Christmas. And, you know, they'll say things like, you know, Christmas is patterned after pagan celebrations. They'll say Jesus wasn't actually born on December 25th and things like that. And I want to show you something from the Bible, because there maybe some of you here this morning that even might have those ideas or think, you know, is it right to celebrate Christmas? In Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul said this, and it kind of answers the question. He said this, "One man esteemeth one day above another." That word esteem means to look at with respect or admiration, to give value to. And Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, "One man esteemeth one day above another." He says, one man will give more respect or admiration or more value to one day above another. Now notice what he says, "Another esteemeth every day alike." Now notice what the Bible says, "Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Do you see that? So God tells us in the book of Romans that some people are going to esteem one day above another, and some people are going to esteem every day alike. So some people are going to say, I'm going to take my birthday and celebrate my birthday, and I'm going to respect it and esteem it more than other days. I'm going to take Christmas and celebrate it and esteem it more than other days. And some people are going to say, don't celebrate birthdays, don't celebrate Christmas, don't celebrate anything. And the Bible says here that they can do that. Notice, neither one is right and neither one is wrong. They can do that. Notice the last phrase in verse 5, "Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Look at verse 6. "He that regardeth the day," the word regard is that same word esteem. It means to give respect, admiration, value. He says, "He that regardeth the day," notice, "regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks." So the Bible teaches here that if you take a day and you want to esteem it or regard it more than any other day, the Bible says you're allowed to do that as long as you esteem it or regard it unto the Lord. So look, you know, people say, well, Christmas has all these pagan things and pagan that. Look, we live in a pagan world. Everything has a pagan, you know, backdrop. But here's what you got to understand. When I celebrate Christmas, I'm not celebrating the birth of Orion or whatever. I'm celebrating the birth of Christ. So I'm, according to the Bible, I'm allowed to esteem that day as long as I'm esteeming it unto the Lord. Does that make sense? So don't, and Paul said it this way also. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Keep your finger in Romans because we're coming back to Romans. But if you're in Romans, go past 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then you'll find the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Because people today, you know, I'm all for these people that don't want to celebrate Christmas, they don't want to celebrate birthdays, they don't want to celebrate anything. You know, I'm not against them, but here's the problem I have with those people. They get upset if you want to celebrate Christmas. You know what I mean? They want you to, like, not celebrate it, and they want you to not celebrate your birthday. But here's what the Bible says. One man esteemeth one day above another, another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So if you want to celebrate Christmas, go for it. If you want to celebrate your birthday, have at it. You want to celebrate your anniversary? I think you should. Are you there in Colossians chapter 2? Let me give you another reference. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse number 16. Colossians chapter number 2. And verse number 16, Paul said this, "Let no man therefore judge you in." So he says, don't allow someone to judge you. Don't allow someone to look at you and judge your actions, whether they're right or wrong. And he says, in these areas, meat or in drink or in respect. That word respect is the same word as regard or esteem. It means to give admiration to, value to. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day. Do you see that word there, holy day? That word holy day is where we get our modern word holiday. That's why I think it's funny. People say, I don't want to mention Christ in Christmas, so I'm not going to say Merry Christmas, you know, all these stories. We're not going to say Merry Christmas to our customers. We're only going to say Happy Holidays. Well, you know what? Happy Holy Day to you too, you know, because that's where the word came from. You can't get away from God, you know what I mean? But the Bible says that let no man therefore judge you in any meat or in drink or in respect of an holiday, holy day. So look. Here's the point that I'm trying to make, and I'm just trying to answer it for those of you. People want to come to me all the time. We shouldn't celebrate Valentine's Day. We shouldn't celebrate Christmas. We shouldn't celebrate birthday. Look, good for you. Don't celebrate your anniversary. I'm sure that goes over well with your wife. But don't let people force you and make you feel bad about you're celebrating Christmas and it's a pagan holiday. Look, if you're esteeming it unto the Lord, then the Bible says as long as you're fully persuaded in your own mind, you're good to go. Now, here's the thing. I'm all for people celebrating Christmas. I like Christmas. Not as much as Thanksgiving, you know, because Thanksgiving you get a nice meal and you don't have to buy anybody gifts. But Christmas is good, you know. I like Christmas. But you can almost understand why some would choose to boycott Christmas. When you think about Christmas today, you can almost understand why some people would not want to celebrate Christmas. Because this idea of Christmas, this idea of the birth of Christ, this idea of celebrating the Savior in our culture today, it's been cheapened. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, what is Christmas? When you think about Christmas, what is it all about? If you ask somebody, we took a random person off the street and we said, hey, give me one word that is associated with Christmas. They probably wouldn't say Bethlehem. They probably wouldn't say Messiah. They probably wouldn't say Christ. They probably wouldn't say Jesus. They're probably going to say gift, Santa Claus, reindeer. I'm all for celebrating Christmas. I think you should celebrate Christmas. I think if you don't want to celebrate, hey, as long as you're fully persuaded in your own mind, that's fine too. But I can almost understand, and I can almost comprehend why it is that certain people would want to boycott the holy day of Christmas. Because in our society, it's been cheapened. I mean, think about it. Think about how much time you, and you're good people, you're here on a Sunday morning, you're Bible-believing Christians, most of you, think about how much time you spent with gifts as your priority for Christmas. We buy gifts for people who are going to, in return, buy gifts for us, right? You have to. They're going to buy a gift for you, so you got to buy a gift for them. I never really understood that. You know, it's like, I'm going to spend $20 on you, and then you're going to spend $20 on me. I don't know why we don't just keep our $20 and just get what we want. You know what I mean? And you know, some of you is like, I spent $50 on you, you spent $50 on me. Some of you guys are crazy. You spent $100 on you. I don't spend $100. I don't buy $100 gifts, all right? You do, because you have a credit card, but that's okay. You know, but we buy gifts for people who, in return, are going to give to us. Now, here's what you understand. We buy gifts for people that are able to give us in return, don't we? I mean, when's the last time? And I know that some have done it, but the vast majority doesn't just go out during this season to purchase a gift and just randomly walk up to a stranger on the street and say, hey, I just want to give this to you. I don't expect anything in return. I don't need anything in return. I just want to give. You tell a homeless person on the street, you say, I want to give you. I know you can't give me a gift back. I just want to give this. Most of us don't. Now, some do. Some do. But the vast majority of us buy gifts for people who are able to buy a gift in return. Is that not true? Most of us on your Christmas list are going to buy gifts for people not only that are able to buy gifts for us, but we're going to buy gifts for people that we love and have a connection with. Now, that's good. I'm not saying it's wrong to buy a gift for people you love. But usually we buy gifts for people we love. You don't buy gifts for that guy at work that bothers you. You know what I mean? You don't buy gifts for that person. You know, that neighbor that leaves their Christmas lights up till June. You don't buy gifts for them, right? You know, the people that irritate you, the people that bother you. We usually buy gifts for people, please catch this, for people that we deem worthy, because I love them, because they love me, because we have a connection, because we have a friendship, they're worthy of me buying them a gift. Usually we buy gifts for people that are able. Usually we buy gifts for people that are worthy in our eyes. And usually we buy gifts for people that we're expected to buy gifts for. I mean, there are people in your life that are anticipating a gift from you this season. And if you don't buy them a gift, it's going to be a bad Christmas, right? Some of you guys are going to be sleeping on the couch, all right? If you don't show up with something for your wife, if you don't, your kids are going to be highly disappointed. They're going to need counseling and therapy if they come down on Christmas Day and there's no gift there from mom or dad. And here's what I want you to understand. Because, and I'm not saying any of this is wrong. I'm just saying, because we usually associate Christmas with gifts. And we usually buy gifts for people who are able to buy gifts for us, who are worthy in our minds of us buying them a gift, or we are expected, or there's an expectation there, or they expect us to buy them a gift. Oftentimes, we buy gifts that we can't afford to impress people we don't even like. And that's what today is known as Christmas. And when you think about that, you almost want to go with those, you know, weirdos and say, yeah, maybe I will boycott Christmas. It's all about the money, and it's all about Hallmark, and it's all about Toys R Us, and it's all about this, it's all about that. But I want you to understand that that's not the purpose of Christmas. The purpose of Christmas is not Santa Claus, it's not reindeers, it's not gifts. The purpose of Christmas is to celebrate the fact that not that I bought you a gift or you bought me a gift, but that God sent a gift to this world. John 3:16, most famous verse in the Bible, you know it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See, Christmas is not about the gift I give you or the gift you give me, but Christmas is about the gift that God gave us. And here's what's interesting about when God gives a gift. If you go make your way back to Romans chapter 5. See, when God gives a gift, he does it differently than we do. When I give a gift, usually, there's some exceptions out there, but the vast majority of us, when we give a gift to those who are able to give us in return. We give a gift to those who are worthy in our minds. I have a connection with them. I have a relationship with them. I love them. They're my friend. Usually, we give those gifts to those who are expected of us. They're expecting a gift from us, so we therefore fulfill that expectation by giving a gift. But when God gives a gift, and when God gave the first Christmas gift, God gave it differently. Notice Romans chapter 5, look at verse 6. The Bible says, for when we were, and if you like to take notes in your Bible, you don't mind writing your Bible, I don't underline this phrase. When we were yet without strength. Do you see that phrase there? Yet without strength. If you don't mind writing in your Bible, I'd write next to that phrase there, next to that verse, I'd write this word, unable. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now you got to understand this. Christ came to die. Say, why did Jesus come? Why did God come in the flesh? Why was God manifest in the flesh? Why did the Word become flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father? He came for one purpose. He came to do one thing. Now, He did many other things while He was here, but His purpose and His for coming and the reason we celebrate Christmas is because Christ came to die for our sins. And the Bible says this, when he came, when God sent him, when God gave him, Romans 5, 6, for when we were yet without strength. See, you and I give gifts to people who are able to give us a gift in return. When God gave a gift, he gave it to those who were unable. He gave to those of us that were yet without strength. Do you see that? Do you understand that we, without Christ, are yet without strength? The phrase there, being without strength, means we are unable. We do not have the strength. We do not have the ability to save ourselves. And Jesus came. That's why I'm not trying to be rude. I know it's Christmas and I'm supposed to be nice. And I'm going to do my best to do that, all right? But that's why I don't understand some of you who believe that you work your way to heaven. You think you go to heaven because you live a good life. You think you're going to go to heaven? Because, you know, people say, well, you can lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you can lose your salvation. And you'll ask them, well, how do you lose your salvation? Well, if you do something really bad, if you commit adultery, if you kill somebody, if you commit suicide, then God's going to take your salvation away from you. But listen to me. If I can lose my salvation based on something that I did, then that salvation is dependent in my strength. You understand that? And the Bible says that the reason Jesus came is because we were unable when we were yet without strength. See, I can't save myself. There's not enough good things I can do to make up for the fact that I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I can't keep myself safe. And people say, well, the Bible's, you know, you got to repent of your sins to be saved. Look, if I could repent of my sins to be saved, then why would Jesus come? Do you understand that? I mean, if I could be saved by just, well, you quit drinking alcohol and you quit partying and you quit saying bad words and you quit smoking and you just repent of all your sins and then you'll be saved, then why would Jesus have to come? He came because we were yet without strength. We were unable to say. No, you say, well, that doesn't make any sense, because when I buy someone a gift, I buy them a gift because I know they're getting me a gift. And I'm going to give them my $20 so they can give me their $20. But when God gave a gift, he gave to those that were unable to give anything in return. You understand that? He gave to those that were not able. I was out soul winning a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to this guy, and I was trying to give him the gospel, and I said, you know, do you know for sure if you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, well, I think I go to heaven. And I said, well, what are you trusting in to get you to heaven? And he said, well, I was taught when I was a kid, my whole life I was taught that if you lived a good life, God would let you into heaven. And I said, well, you know, the Bible teaches that salvation is not based on how good of a life you live. And it's not based on the things we do. It's a gift that God paid for. It's the gift. I showed him, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he kind of just looked at me, and I could tell that he wasn't getting it. And he said, well, I don't know about that. But all I know is that I was told as a kid, if I live a good life, I'll go to heaven. And if you live a good life, you'll go to heaven. And I said, well, no. I mean, the Bible says, you know, that it's not of works. And it's not based on that. It's Jesus Christ. And I was trying to explain, and I don't know why I didn't go to this verse first, but I spent maybe 5 or 10 minutes just trying to get them to understand that it's not of works. And he's like, and this is what he kept saying. I don't know about that. All I know is that I was told if you live a good life, if you're a good person, you'll go to heaven. And I don't know why I didn't go to this verse earlier, but I finally just went to Romans 3:10, where the Bible says, and actually, I want you to see it since you're there in Romans. Go to Romans chapter number 3. Look at verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. You're right there, so just turn over a few pages. Romans 3:10, the Bible says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. And I read to him this verse. I said, notice this phrase, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And he looked at me and he said, are you trying to say? And I said, I'm not trying to say anything, I just read a verse to you. And he said, okay, are you trying to say that no one is good enough to go to heaven? I said, I'm not trying to tell you that no one is good enough to go to heaven. I'm trying to tell you that the Bible says that no one is good, much less good enough to go to heaven. This is what he said to me. He said, well, if no one's good enough to go to heaven, then how does anybody go to heaven? I said, that's why he came. Because when we were yet without strength, when we were unable, he gave. See, you and I, we give to those who are able. We give to those who are going to give us a gift. God gave to those who could not give. Notice, go back to Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 7. Not only did God give to those who were unable, the Bible says that God gave to those who were unworthy. See, you and I, when we give a gift, we give to those who are worthy. We have a relationship with them. We're married to them. They're our kids. They're our in-laws. They're our brother. They're our sister. They're my friends. And I have deemed them worthy of me going out to Target and getting them a gift. That's who we give to. But notice who God gave to. Romans 5:7. For scarcely, that word scarcely means not probable, not probably. He says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. He says, yet peradventure, he says, perhaps, the word peradventure is perhaps, he says, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. Notice verse 5, but God commendeth. Now, some modern Bible versions change that word commendeth to demonstrates, but that's not what that word means. The word commend comes from the same word as recommend. It means God is recommending, or God is praising. God is showing us the value of his love, because we all know the love of God, you know, for God so loved the world. But here's how we know it's valuable. The gift was valuable. But God commendeth his love toward us, not because he sent his son, but because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, we give to those who are able, and we give to those who are worthy. God gives to those who are unable, and God gives to those who are unworthy. See, you and I don't deserve salvation. While we were yet sinners. It's interesting, if you read the Christmas story, nobody was really ready for the coming of Christ. The shepherds didn't know Christ was coming. The angels had to come tell them. The wise men knew, but they were 2 years late. I hate to break it to you. I know it's going to mess up your nativity, but the wise men were not at the birth of Christ. They showed up 2 years later. Study Matthew chapter 1. It's pretty clear. The wise men were late. No one cared. No one knew. They were in their sins. There's one guy, Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and he saw the baby Jesus 8 days later, and he said, my nine has seen salvation. There's another lady who wasn't necessarily waiting, but she walked in as Simeon was saying those words, and she acknowledged the truth. But there wasn't a huge host of people just saying, I'm waiting for my Christmas gift from God. There wasn't, because here's what you understand. When Christ came, when God gave, he gave to those which were unable, and he gave to those which were unworthy. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, now here's what I want you to get. When we give a gift, we give to those who are able, we give to those who are worthy, and we give to those who, there's an expectation. We're expected to buy them a gift. They're expected to get us a gift. If we don't do it, they'll be upset. If they don't do it, it'll be bad Christmas. If we don't do it, they're gonna have their feelings hurt. But notice, not only did God give to those which were unable, and not only did God give to those which were unworthy, but God gave to the unexpected. Notice verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. So you got to understand this. There's no neutrality with God. You say, well, I'm not really religious. I'm not really for God. I'm not really against God. I'm not really for the Bible. I'm not really against. You got to understand this. God doesn't look it that way. You're either with him or you're against him. And if you say, well, I don't really know what I know about the Bible, then God says that you are an enemy to God. You say, well, I don't know that I want to serve a God that would make an enemy out of me. Well, here's the difference about the enemies of God and the enemies of you and I. You and I don't give to our enemies, but God sent a gift to his enemies. Those who you would not expect. Notice, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Today, Christmas puts a bad taste in people's mouths. Because it's all about gifts. Because it's all about, I'm going to buy gifts for those who are able to buy me gifts, and I'm going to give to those that expect me to give them a gift, and I'm going to give to those that I find worthy of giving to, and those that like me are going to give to me, and if I expect a gift from them, they're going to give me a gift, and if I'm able to give them a gift, then they're going to give me a gift. But you got to understand this. That's not how Christmas started. That's not how it all began. The first Christmas gift was given by God to people who were unable, unworthy, and unexpected. And people want to argue about, well, he never really died on December 25th. Look, I know that. And people, there's smart people that can figure out when Jesus died, when he was born. That's fine. I will concede the fact. I will admit, I will acknowledge that Jesus probably was not born on December 25th. I'm okay with that. I just choose to regard that day unto the Lord, to acknowledge the birth of Christ. Notice Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Say, Pastor Jimenez, do you know when Jesus came? I don't know when he came, but here's what I do know. He came. Romans 5, 6 says this, for when we were yet without strength, not only did he come, but notice this phrase, underline this phrase in your Bible, if you like to underline things in your Bible, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know what that word due means? It means rightful, proper, fitting. It means that he came. You ever had a teacher tell you, your project is due on this day, and you waited till the night before that day to get the project in, right? Because that was the right time. That's when it was supposed to happen. And you say, Pastor Jimenez, you know, Jesus wasn't actually born December 25th. I know that. Well, why are you celebrating? Because I want to pick a day to celebrate the birth of my Savior. Well, do you know when he came? I'll be honest with you, I don't know. People say, well, you can figure out when the priest, you know, calendar was, and you can go back to John the Baptist's father. Look, that's great. Praise the Lord for it. I'm sure that'll make a very interesting sermon. But I know this. He came in due time. I don't know when he came. But I know at the right time, and at the proper time, and at the best time, he came. Could you imagine what would happen in your life, in my life, in your family, in my family, in your kids, in my kids, if we, as Bible-believing Christians, had a Christ-centered Christmas? Say, Pastor, are you trying to make us feel guilty about buying gifts? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty about anything. I want you to buy gifts for your family. I want you to enjoy the holidays. I think it's good. But I do think we ought to regard the Lord in it. And I do think we ought to remember that the purpose of Christmas is that Christ came to those who were unable, unworthy, and unexpected. In your bulletin, you have a course of the week. We didn't sing the course of the week yet. I saved it to the end because I picked this song, and it's not a Christmas song, but it communicates the truth that I'm trying to teach about this morning. The song is called At the Right Time. And I don't think we've ever sang this song at our church, and I'm sure many of you don't know it, but it's a beautiful song. I'd like for you to learn it. The first verse, it says this, at a time of God's own choosing, he came. When we the fight were losing, he came. Long before we knew him. When we were lost in sin, at the right time, at the best time, he came. This Thursday, this Christmas morning, I'm not telling you that that's when Jesus was born. I'm sure it's not. But this Thursday morning, I do want to challenge you. Before you open any gifts, before you begin any celebrations, as Bible-believing Christians, the world will do what the world's going to do, but as Bible-believing Christians, if you claim Christ as Savior, I want to encourage you, before you open any gifts, to acknowledge the gift that God gave you. If you have kids, I would encourage you to gather them up and open up the Bible to Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20, read the Christmas story. You say, I don't have any kids, then do it with your spouse. I'm not married, then do it by yourself. But acknowledge the fact. And some of you, we see we're so wrapped up in gifts. Some of you are going to be disappointed. You're not going to get the gift you expected. You're not going to get the gift you wanted. You're going to spend $100 on someone and they're going to get you something from the Dollar Tree. And you're not going to be happy about it. And during this season, we are depressed and we're discouraged and we're not happy where our lives are. But look, if you got no gifts, if you walk to the living room and under the tree, there's no gifts. Maybe there's not even a tree. You can still have the gift that God gave you. And I just want to encourage you to acknowledge the gift of God. So before you open any gifts, before you do any celebrations, I want to challenge you to just look up to your Heavenly Father and say, God, I want to thank you for the Christmas gift you gave me. Because unlike these gifts that were given to me because I'm able and I'm worthy and I'm expected, you gave me a gift that I was unable and I was unworthy and I was unexpected. And Father, I'm sure you did not come on December 25th. And I'm not really sure when you came. But I know that at the due time, at the best time, you came. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.